You could hear a pin drop in the lobby. It was that quiet.
The referee letting play continue. One last throw.
It's obviously hard now because of the way that's all ended, but
Scales is up after it. Scales wins ahead.
I'll have that forever.
Inner Drive, Episode 1 with Troy Parrott, out now on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Allianz, a proud sponsor of Irish sport.
Off the ball.
Well, folks, welcome along to another episode of League of Ireland Late Night. Just on my way out of Talca Park here. I'm delighted to say that Shane Keegan is alongside me in the hot seat tonight. Shane, how are you doing?
Not too bad now at all, Ben, yourself?
I'm all right, Shane. Nice balmy evening here in Dublin, I have to say. Always helps when you're walking out of the stadium at 10 o'clock and it's bright and it's you're wearing shorts and still warm, you know?
For sure, for sure. You enjoyed the game?
Yeah, you know what, Shane? It was a decent game. I think Shelburne will be very, very annoyed that they didn't come away with 3 points there. And I'd imagine Joey O'Brien's still in the dressing room at 10 past 10. So I'd imagine he's not a happy man. Couple of great chances for Shells throughout the game. A couple of great saves by Evan Watson, goal for Galway. They hit the post twice in the first half as well. But John Caulfield's side do what John Caulfield's side do, Shane. You know them as well as anyone else. By God, does he know how to grind out a result?
Yeah, no, listen, it's a great result for them because I thought, having got the monkey off the back last week for Shells, I thought they'd really kick on. I fancied them to get the win there tonight, to be honest with you. Yeah, they'll have to be disappointed with that. I was watching the Virgin game, Ben. A good game. I wouldn't say it wasn't the most kind of open, flowing game. Obviously, only the one goal in it. But yes, a huge amount of quality in the game. Huge amount of quality, particularly in the middle third. Jack Byrne back to the level that we know he can be at. Absolutely controlling the whole tempo of the game. Graham Burke with a superb goal. Keen Levy for Pats could hardly have done any more. He was absolutely exceptional on the night, so he was. But yet another Rovers win. I'd say Bowes, with the good result they'd had, were praying for an equaliser there from Pats. It would have been a help to them as much as it would have been to Pats. But it just never came. And even though Pats were a lot better in the second half than they were in the first, keeper probably really still only had one proper save to make, really. But I'll tell you what, Ben, you probably haven't had a chance to see too much of it yet because you've been on duty. But the League of Ireland social media channels need to get a clip out as quickly as they can of the top five goals from tonight, because quite honestly, I might be slightly guilty of hyperbole at the best of times, but I don't know, has there ever been the quality of goals scored in one night in the League of Ireland that there has tonight? My God. Like, I didn't think anything could get close to Ed McCarthy's goal last week this season. Think Cameron Dunigan has pipped it tonight. An unbelievable strike. On a night of unbelievable strikes, his is the pick of the crop.
I have to be honest, I've only been able to see the Graham Burke strike purely just because you're sitting there in the stands. Go on very quickly before we get people in. Run me through to the top five goals of the night, and we'll see if people have their say in it when they join alongside.
Yeah, well, you can choose your order. I would challenge anybody to say that Cammy's isn't the pick of the lot. Graham Burks is a peach. That's right up there. Benny Couto has scored a screamer for Waterford late on in the game to get one back. What else have we got him try? Oh, Shane Farrell. Shane Farrell's strike for Drogheda. And they're nearly all volleys, by the way, so they are. Absolute crackers all over the place. Then there's a couple of more technical ones. Ryan O'Kane scores a super technical goal for Sligo. The Dundalk goals are good, but no, I'm telling you, the Cameron Dunigan one, it is the cleanest volley you are ever likely to see. Like, it came flying back out of net that fast that the goalkeeper turned around to grab the ball to play on. He assumed it must have hit the woodwork. It is just incredible.
Unbelievable. Right before we get people in, I'll just run through the scores very quickly for those who might have missed. Drogheda United 3, Waterford 3. What a game up at United Park this evening. And a big point for Waterford at the bottom end of the table. Dundalk with another big win at home to Derry City.
So if you've any Dundalk or Derry fans, I could see Marty as a crest. We'll get on to him very shortly. Sherburne 1, Galway United 1 was the game I was at. Bit of a, I suppose, a little bit of a smash and grab for Galway United. They won't mind me saying that. Sligo Rovers 1, Bohemians 3, a big win for Bows as they continue to chase down the leaders. And of course, the league leaders, Shamrock Rovers, 1-0 winners on the TV game over St. Patrick's Athletic. I'm looking at who we have in here. We might go straight to Marty, actually, because it's it's another defeat for Derry City, 2-1 away to Dundalk. Marty, listen, you can take us away with this. I don't know where you want to start after that one. I don't know if we have Marty in on the line there.
Hello, boys. Yeah.
Marty, there we go. Marty, how are you? Did you manage to make the trip to Oriel Park this evening?
I did, yeah, unfortunately.
I always think that when you go up there as a fan, there's nothing worse than when you lose up there in that away end. And I have to say, when you're in the home end in Oriel Park, it's actually brilliant. But when you're up there in that away end and you're on the back of a drubbin, I can't imagine there's as many people more disgruntled than you right now, Marty.
Ah, look, I kind of given up on it a couple of weeks ago. Like, I'm obviously still going to go to the games, but not surprised by it. Another terrible performance. One of the best goals I've ever seen, though, luckily enough, and it was a nice evening, so it wasn't all bad. But I'm not. It's more like, you know, when someone says I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed, you know, that kind of way.
Almost disappointed, but not surprised. Is that the tone that I'm getting from you there?
Exactly. Yeah, just I've given up on it. Like, I think everyone has. It's just a matter of time before there's a change made, I think, and I think it needs to come ASAP, because another mess of a formation tonight. I don't know what they're even trying to do, like, you know. Yeah.
Marty, you genuinely sound like somebody who's at the end of a marriage and just realised that it's dying a death and is thrown in the towel. Listen, the goal aside, Like, it's mad to say. I was kind of looking at this game during the week coming up, and I was thinking, like, I had a quick look on the odds on it, and Dundalk were favourites to win. Imagine saying at the start of the season, that heading into the second half of the season, that Dundalk would be favourites to beat Derry in a league game. And yet, sure, none of us could have been surprised, and that's exactly how it played out. It's just, it's been so disappointing for you so far this year.
If Galway had scored a winner, and if Drogheda had scored a winner, we'd be in 8, I think. That's where we're at. Only Waterford have less wins than us. I think only Sligo and Waterford scored less goals than us. So it's ludicrous, really, how bad it is.
Yeah, I was having a look at this. I had a look at the stats on it. I saw the goals, obviously, but just to get a flow from the general game, I was looking at the stats on it. I think Dundalk had like twice your feckin' XG, so they obviously were much the better.
Oh, they were, yeah, yeah. Well deserved. Flattered. The 2-1 was a bit of a flatter. Flattered us a bit. And even then, we still, so much quality in the side that we still nearly nicked it with Duffy. He drew a wonder save from the keeper towards the end. Would have been totally undeserved point. But even then, we still have the players that can do that. But, you know, 2-1 was flattered us a little bit. Eddie Beach made a great saves again.
You mentioned something about the shape there. What were you saying? Did you say it was a different shape again, was it?
I thought it was the kind of Christmas tree, but it was the far, it, like, he left James Clark out of it now this time, and he played Josh Thomas as a centre forward, but that's not his game. Like, and they were just pinging balls up to him. He couldn't win them. You know, those horses for courses that we're not seeing it. Yeah, just dreadful. Like, we can't play out from the back. I've mentioned that a couple of times. Like, we don't have the ability to play through a press. Dundalk just pressed us. We couldn't get out. All we could do was kick the ball away, and it was just that kind of game. You know, the lack of quality is criminal. Like, I think that's Tierney Lynch's.
But there shouldn't be a lack of quality. Like, you know, you can say the lack of quality if you're a team down around the bottom with a smaller budget and you're struggling. But like, there shouldn't be a lack of quality. Like, the five subs you brought on today, never mind the feckin' starting team, the five subs you brought on, Dara Markey, Michael Duffy, Patrick McLean, Liam Boyce, James Clark. I mean, how is there a lack of quality. I just can't wrap my head around.
I'm not talking about the players. Like, we have the players. I'm talking about the lack of quality in our play, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get you. No, I get you.
We can't. We can barely string five passes together. So.
I don't know, Ben. I don't know.
I'm at a loss for words, to be honest, with Derry at the moment, because when you look at the players individually, the quality is absolutely there. Like, I don't really think that's even a question. You're kind of wondering I know Derry fans are probably very quick to say where it has gone wrong, but even you're looking at, I saw Conor Barragh called up to the Northern Irish under 21 side as well today. So even some of the young players who are there have serious quality as well. I'm really struggling, Shane, to be honest, to see how it's gone wrong when you have that much quality in the squad. Like, how has it gone this poorly? And sometimes I even think we're prone to maybe over-exaggerating how bad it's been. And they went on a 4 or 5-game unbeaten run there last month. You're kind of thinking, right, maybe it's going to turn around, and it's just gone back to what it was at the start of the season again.
And Ben, do you know what the biggest problem now is? Because I've been this soldier a couple of times. Like, that last game, now I know when you say mid-season break, I know it's only one weekend without a game, right? But it's the fact that you're not training. So that last game before the mid-season break, because the players are all going to be heading off and you're not going to get your hands on them now for maybe 4 or 5 days. I would imagine these boys probably aren't back in training maybe until next weekend. They could be off now until next Saturday, I would think, or certainly the latter part.
Do you think they will, Shane? Because I know the last international break, I know for a fact St. Patrick's Athletic trained through the break. I was on to them looking to do media work with them, and they were flat out trained through the break. So, like,
really, took nothing at all, did they not?
Could we see Tiernan Lynch maybe turn around and say, you know what, no, you don't deserve a holiday, you know?
Yeah, well, it's hard to know whether that'd be the right or wrong thing either, because that could get a backlash as well. But if you do go away and you're away from the setup for a couple of days, players are going to be talking to each other, all of that kind of stuff goes on, you know, things can grow legs a little bit. You really want a positive result heading into that break, and to get a negative result on the back of a run of negative results is going to be hard.
Just for the last international break in March, Taylor Lynch was in Belfast Airport on the Saturday morning, straight to Benidorm. So that's where that's what he puts into it. Like, you know, he'd probably do the same tomorrow.
Listen, we'll need verification.
One of the lads goes to Chelsea, yeah. So he was going to Chelsea Saturday morning after the draw of the home game in March. And now, Tiernan Lynch is entitled to his holiday. I'm just saying, don't expect him to be training all week. He'll be straight probably on his holidays, you know.
Marty, is there any chance you can be, you said your hope is gone and the spirit and will to follow the team is gone. Is there any chance you can be clawed back in under the current regime?
No, you know when it's gone. When it's gone, it's gone. Like, the fans have completely turned on it. It's like very toxic. Like, it's over. Like, and for Tiernan Lynch's sake, it needs to be ended as well. Like, because, you know, he is, as he says himself, well, like, he's a human being. Like, and you know, he's getting awful abuse, and he is a good manager. I think it's just gone wrong. It's just like, you know, when it doesn't work out for you. Like, Shane is a great manager, but he's had jobs where things didn't go for him. Like, and that's what's happening here. And for his own sake, he needs to move on somewhere else. Like, there's probably a few jobs in Northern Ireland opening up in the summer now. So, you know, it's just put him out of his misery. Put this thing to bed, like, and let's move on. Like.
Yeah, I think you make a very important point there by saying about how he is a good manager. I think Rory Higgins is one who we've seen when he left Derry. We know it kind of got a bit sour towards the end of Derry, but when he left, he's obviously done really well going back to the Irish League. Is it a worry that, you know, we're at two good managers in a row where it hasn't worked out?
That's a huge worry, like, and that's what I'd be saying. You can't just blame the manager. Like, talked on here before about how the McLean signings happened. Go back to Rory Higgins, right? Rory Higgins was going for a double, and they held funds on him in the summer to buy players because they knew Tiernan Lynch was coming in. They brought Tiernan Lynch down to the games in Dublin that Rory Higgins was managing, the former CEO and all. Go to this time, you know, as I said, the McLeans and all. We've no director of football, no football infrastructure. anything like that. So that needs to change big time. Like that's it's a bit like United under the Glazers all them years ago. I used to say, like, you can bring in any manager in the world you want. Like, it's not gonna work because the club structures are amateur. Derry's like an amateur operation. It's like back in the 80s where you just have a manager and the manager's making like 10 transfers. You know, like that's what Tiernan will do again. Like, we had a chat with Depo there. Depo didn't even get on tonight. Well, I won't say what happened. He came over just after the game, like, but like he's going to be gone now as well. We've got probably another player, 10 players out. So that's another reason why we need a change urgently, because I don't want to see Tiernan Lynch manage another transfer window for us. Like, our squad has been, as I said, we had the best defence and all in 2023, and now we're like leaking like a sieve, and you know,
yeah,
it needs to happen.
There's no real excuse for that either. I mean, I would have found that a bit, Marty, when I was at Galway, you know, for a team in the Premier Division that you're being pulled and dragged in directions you shouldn't be. I was spending half my time on feckin' daft.ie trying to find feckin' apartments for players, and then you were going viewing apartments, and you were doing this, that, and the other, and getting pulled, and the infrastructure just wasn't there that should be there to take care of all that kind of stuff. Like, you can be damn sure Stephen Bradbury's not spending his time on daft.ie. But, like, Derry, you know, whatever excuse Galway had, budgets tighter and that, like, the fact that money has been no object at Derry, it is amazing that they haven't managed to put the proper structures in place that would allow a manager to fulfil potential and kick the club on to where it should be, isn't it?
It is, like, and like, we're advertising at the minute for a director of recruitment, but it's still not enough. Like, you still need, you know, directors of football, all that stuff. Like, and hopefully we can get it in. But, like, you know, I'm not like, Philip Doherty is brilliant. Like, his money is so welcome, but he's not. He says himself, "I'm not a football man." Well, then you need to hand over the reins, like, to someone who is, you know.
Marty, thanks a million for hopping on tonight. We've a couple other callers to get into, but thanks as always for coming in and giving your
thanks a million. Thanks a million, guys. Sorry,
a difficult
sorry for being the ghost at the feast as usual. But every Monday, happy. Right, guys. Thanks.
Cheers, Marty. I'll tell you what, Shane. We might move on to someone who maybe would be a little bit happier after the results tonight, because I'm going to bring in Anthony after a big win for Bohemians up in the showgrounds. Obviously, he might have been a little bit damped by the result in Talla tonight. Anthony, are you there with us?
Yeah, hiya, lads. I have a new headset there, so if it's not working, just let me know. I'll pull it off.
No, we have you there. Sounds perfect.
Sorry. I didn't make the trip up. I was away for work this week, so I'm actually down in Maxwell with the young lad and the missus tonight. So I watched it on the telly on League of Ireland TV. We're not talking about Monday though. Yeah, we're talking about tonight, I think, are we, Ben?
you can talk about whatever you want, Anthony.
No, I'm only joking. So
I can't imagine you'd be too quick to answer questions on it somehow.
No, look, the opposite, actually. So the way I said, look, so let's talk about tonight's game. So the way I seen tonight's game was we took off exactly where we left off on Monday, which was a good possession, good to the final third, and lacked a little bit of cutting edge, or for want of a better word, I suppose, lacked a little bit of conviction when we're in them positions. And that's all it is. Other than that, we're creating double figures in each half. We've been playing well, probably as well as we've played under Alan Reynolds to this point. I didn't have a huge issue with Monday night in terms of application, in terms of what we've done, in terms of quality. I just felt, and it's kind of been a bugbear of mine, I just thought, like, if we can be a little bit more analytical when we're in the areas where we're actually achieving what we need to achieve from. So if Dawson DeVoe's in a certain area on the edge of the box, every time he shoots it goes over the bar, where if he's in certain pockets, he seems to be able to pick someone out and score. So if we're just being hypercritical of them, they can be a really good side. And when they're in certain areas, they just need to get into the pockets, like exactly like tonight, the first goal. Harry Vaughan switched into the middle, DeVoe found him, Douglas James Taylor pulled off, and the ball was played in between the centre-half, so centre-half is facing Douglas James Taylor, and he takes one touch out of his feet, and bang, straight in through the keeper's legs, and it's 1-0, and then Sligo are struggling from then on. Collie Whelan comes on at half time, gets a similar goal. Pure work rate. He was very good the other night on Monday night as well. Bang, 2-0. Ryan O'Kane gets a good goal. Really, really, really quality goal, to be honest with you. Like you could be critical of balls on Monday night as well, but the two Rovers goals were of serious quality, like very, very good quality. Dylan Watts puts that ball in on Friday, and you're going like, it's very hard to blame. Like you really want to be very particular about blaming defenders and what they done there, not to concede goals again tonight. Flores kind of goes in, commits, but Todd gets across. O'Kane shifts the ball three times, and it's game on. But it wasn't really game on because Bowles never looked like they were ever going to concede a second goal. And Parsons ends up the other end and scored. I think the ref gave 10 free kicks for Sligo in the last 15, 20 minutes tonight, and zero for Bowles. I think it was a penalty shot at the end as well. So Bowles are really, really comfortable tonight. Just to pick up, lads, where as we're talking with Marty on kind of management styles and if, what you said, Shane, in terms of if you were to keep the lads away from their mid-season break, I don't think it would bode well. Like you have to get them to play for you at the end of the day. So into that point, Alan Reynolds seems to have that squad in such a way that when they're coming off the bench, they're bouncing into games, they're high-fiving each other, they're topping and tailing on the pitch, and it just seems like, it's looking at it from the outside, it looks like a manager that has full control of the full squad, and they're all playing with each other. So Vaughan came in tonight from Parsons on Monday, and Zane Myers was playing another couple of weeks ago, and firing on all cylinders. So it does, in terms of performance levels, it seems to be getting a little bit better in terms of what we're doing. I don't know if you guys are seeing that as well. I don't know if you've seen it, then, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, the Vaughan one is the one that really proves your point there, Anthony, isn't it? I mean, they're two absolutely superb passes for the two goals, for the two boys. Perfect, like his movement to find the little pockets of space, his awareness. If you look on the first one, like I suppose it's a thing of mine that I love guys who are good scanners. You can see as the ball is coming to Vaughan, Vaughan sneaks a look. So he's not just having his first look after he takes his first touch. He sneaks a look as the ball is coming towards him. And to be fair to Douglas James Taylor, his movement is good as well because a good centre forward will always come short to go long or go long to come short. And he's come short with no intention of receiving the ball to where he's moved from at all. He's just opening up the space for himself to win behind. Yeah. But you still need the quality of pass from Vaughan. And the pass was excellent. And it's almost a carbon copy for Colin Whelan's. I know it's a slightly different finish, but again, it's just the ability to find the space and put that little slide rule pass through. Like you say, he wasn't in the starting team on Monday night. No. But again, you know,
previous to that, Shane, he didn't play for 180 minutes before that. So you're kind of looking going, yeah, and Connor Parsons the same. So he's getting a tune out of that quality in that area of the pitch. So that's a credit to him, in fairness.
No, with you 100%. And like you said, that strength and depth is certainly there at the moment, that's for sure.
Harry Vaughan, lad. Anthony, can I just ask quickly about Harry Vaughan?
Yeah,
what is the story there where he wasn't getting minutes before? Because I thought when he came on Monday night, he was unbelievable. And every time he's on the pitch, you can just tell he has that quality where, obviously, look, he played in the Championship and he played in League One for Hull City. We know he kind of the levels that he can be at. I thought and by the sounds of it, he's superb tonight. I thought he was brilliant, even the little cameo the other night.
Yeah, no, agreed, Ben. And I think, I don't know this, like, I have no idea, but my opinion on this is that I think that if a team is sitting deep and you're finding it hard to break them down and you're looking for a third man to come in midfield to just if you're defending against two solid sixes, he can come in and just change the whole game. But if you're playing an open game, did against Rovers the other night, someone with a bit more pace like Parsons would be someone that you'd select ahead of Vaughan, because Vaughan's good with the small inches of stuff and he might not be good over 20 yards, whereas you put the ball in front of Parsons, he can open a game up and draw players to him. That would be my opinion on it.
Yeah. Anthony, just one more one before we let you go, because a few more questions here.
Yeah.
How realistic is the title charge, and how disappointing or defeating is it when you come out of a big win like that and you look over and Rovers have managed to beat Pats at home?
Yeah, but you have to look after your own business. So people are going on about Bowers not winning for 9 games in a row. He only lost 3 of them games, and 2 of them was away to Rovers and away to Pats. So like, that's 3 games all season, by the way, to this point, which is over halfway. There's no player throwing the toys out of pram. There's nothing to say that we're not going to get better when Europe comes around. Because naturally enough, people say, "Oh, Pats will do well when everyone else is in Europe." That's never really the case, Ben. It's always, look at Shelburne last year. They went on an incredible run, and Rovers do it as well when Europe comes around, because they're ultra focused. So I'm hoping that Bowles haven't peaked yet. I'll probably think Bowles, and I genuinely believe they're probably going at about 60-70%. But I also think Rovers are the same, and I don't know is the God's honest truth. I actually think there's more to come from Bowles. So I think they keep going the way they're going. They're not going to lose too many games at home in Daly Mount on the run in. Their waveform seems to be really, really solid. If I was Rovers, I would think Bowles are my biggest threat at the moment, this moment in time. Just purely, and I'm not one for talking Bowles up, but just that's a genuine thing that I see. I just see quality all over the pitch. I see them only getting better. I see the players that are out, sending Mullins and different players coming back in. We don't know what's going to happen in the window. If I was a player and I was out of favour, Bowles would be the team that I'm looking at going, we're creating 20 chances a game. That's the team I want to play in. So for me, they've as good as chances they'll ever have and probably have had since the last time we won it way back when. That's my take on it. And that's from a difficult week as a Bowles fan.
Anthony, great way to leave it. Thanks mainly for hopping on tonight. Enjoy the weekend in Wexford.
No better. Next time, lads. Talk to you later. Cheers.
Shane, no tips for Anthony about the Wexford neck of the woods? No?
Listen, there's Coracloe Beach. There's so many nice beaches down there. I hope he gets the weather now over the weekend that we had during the week. He'll absolutely love it.
We have Toby in now, who, if I remember correctly, is of Waterford origin, and I mean, Toby, a point for Waterford is pretty good, but what a game to be involved in.
Yeah, look, it was basically, I thought it was a game of two halves.
Break it down for us for those of us who didn't catch it, because I know Shane was watching the game on TV and I was in Talca. How did it pan out there in Drogheda this evening?
I thought, to be fair, the first like 20 minutes, like obviously when Lonergan got the goal after 15 seconds,
I think is Toby's line running out for you there,
he's
Shane?
As I think, Ben, yeah, he can't hear him either.
We'll give Toby.
Seems to be gone. Look, it was a game. Yeah. My God, Bennett, it's a game that was certainly swinging to and fro. I mean, Waterford will be. It's one of those games, isn't it, where like both managers are going to be sick at the end, because Waterford are 2-0 up,
yeah.
And when you're 2-0 up, you know, in a massive game down around the bottom, like you have to. I mean, they're still, you know, 2-0 up. Pretty sure still 2-0 up at half time. You have to be going out with, you know, a resolute approach and seeing that out. To find themselves 3-2 down is just not good enough. Like, if they really want to try and stay up, just not good enough. And then, as I said, like, you have to get a look at the equalising goal, Ben. I swear, it's some strike from Benny Kudo. And any other night, if you had the Cameron Dunnigan goal and any other night, we'd all be talking about it. It's literally, the commentators actually pass comment on it, because it's getting late in the game, getting very late in the game, and they're Waterford going with a long throw, which, having watched them a couple of weeks ago against Derry, is a big, big part of their game to try and use that long throw and bring up the three big centre halves. And every player pretty much is in the box except for Benny Cooper. And when the clearance comes out, he just meets it on the volley and it fizzes into the top corner. So, like, of course, they'll be delighted. They're away from home. In that sense, it's a decent point. They're 3-2 down and they've managed to get it. But it's hard for them at the same time not to rewind back to the fact that they were 2-0 up here in this game at one stage, you know?
Yeah, Toby, have you seen any signs over Graham Coughlin that maybe you might give a fight chance to stay up?
All right, lads, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, happy there.
All right, perfect. Progress, it's getting there, I think. I think it's just, when we went 2-0 up, you just have that hope, you know, like, you'd have that hope. But when Johnny got to go back, which was always going to happen, I thought, they'll get back into the game, which they very much did, by the way. Then Benny Couto, probably the goal this season, maybe one of. It's just, I think there's progress there. It's just that Sligo game next will become more crucial.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking ahead, Sligo, and then it doesn't really get any easier after that. The Shamrock Rovers and a high-flying Dundalk to come. If you get something out of that Sligo game, is there a chance then? Is there a chance that Graham Coughlin could do some work over the break? I wonder, is there Waterford and maybe look? I know there's been progress since he came in, but is there a chance that if you beat Sligo, that could really kickstart something? Is there that sort of sense among Waterford fans, Toby?
There is a odd sense about Waterford fans. If we beat Sligo, there's hope. Like, we're like 8 points behind Sligo, and if we beat them, all of a sudden it's only like 5 or something, and we might get a little run together. Who knows, though? It's just, if we beat Sligo, I think there might just be a little bit of hope back in Waterford, to be fair.
Toby, thanks mainly for hopping on tonight.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Shane.
Toby, just to correct myself there, Ben, I'm actually flicking around here on it's just, again, I know I've commented on it before. It's just brilliant on Virgin that you can literally watch every single goal within minutes of final whistle going on one live game. So that first draw of the goal in the comeback did actually come after about 26 minutes. So they launched the comeback reasonably early, so they did. But again, just I'm telling you, I'm looking at that Benny Couto goal. It is an absolute peach. Drogheda, again, like, they've got a peach of their own. As I said, the goals were just coming from everywhere tonight. The Shane Farrell strike is a lovely strike in its own right, you know.
Well, I can tell you a place where there wasn't many great goals, but there certainly was two goals, and I think goals is what we call them. Shane Kennedy, what did you make of Shelburne there tonight?
No, lads, I don't know if there's any Galway fans on. Probably not, is there?
Not sure.
Not that we can see of.
Yeah, I'll first give you a Galway angle if you want.
Go on, fire away.
Yeah, no, because I do the pod for the Alloway ball, so I've seen a lot of Galway this year, and to be honest, that was no snatch and grab for me. That was John Caulfield. Everyone wrote off Galway at the start of the season, didn't they? Everyone had them down as favourites to go down. They lost X, Y, and Z, and I think, look, Caulfield tonight makes a substitution, brings on a centre-half. Not many managers would bring on a centre-half when they're 1-0 down, and he identified our weaknesses, which are set pieces. And he stops the corner, and most people say also you don't want to make changes for corners. We didn't clear the first one, and on the second corner they scored a goal.
Yeah, the defending is fucking horrendous for the goal.
We didn't. You know what, Shane? I haven't seen it back. I know it's a second phase or a flick on, which is what a lot of teams do now. Pat's done it to us. They done it to Bowles. Sligo done it to Bowles. It's a new thing now that you flick it onto the fourth post. But when you have someone like David Hurley, that's he's arguably got the best, Graham Bourke has the best left foot in the league in the final third. But David Hurley's left foot is a wand. Like, you know, he puts that ball exactly where he wants it, and it's definitely an intentious flick on. Like,
I'm watching, I know I have the advantage of TV, I'm watching it here. It's a Shells player that flicks it on. I'm telling you now, watch it back when you get a chance. I'm watching it here. There's.
Is it Ali Coote? Is it Ali Coote?
Is it Ali Coote in the front post zone? It is.
Yeah.
He just gets caught under it, and then probably your second player behind him, I'm trying to make out who it is here, he probably thinks he has it if Cook doesn't touch it, but then he flicks it over his head, and it's just, it's a really poor one. Like, it's a really, and then because it literally just hits France and goes into the goal. Like, he doesn't even properly.
Terrified, though, boy. Obviously puts the lads terrified. Like, I've been on here before and we've completed probably 10 first and second phase set pieces, so like those substitutions, like, it wasn't too long after we scored either. I thought Galway were good. They've set up with a back four, lads, and then he switched it to a back three when he made the changes to get the centre halves on the pitch and get the bigger lads on. I think John Caulfield's done an unbelievable job at Galway, and full credit to him. Like, they're look like they're going to make the playoffs at worst, which a lot of people had them to go down. And I know Johnny used to be on here, and I'm sure he'll be singing and dancing this season.
Shane, can I ask you, because I completely agree with how well Galway were set up today. Assuming the substitutions were brilliant. Like, Shane Keane, you'd love it. Like, it's proper Wiley old Fox stuff from John Caulfield. Like, you know, as Shane Kennedy said, who says don't make substitutions at set pieces? And you can see the confusion as well. When he's bringing three big lads on, well, the two and Axel Bysholt into the box, you can see the confusion. But what I will say is, I think if Shells are more clinical today, or if Galway come up against a better side, that game is out of sight by half time. Shells had three or four chances in the first half, and Watts makes a brilliant save for one. Two others come off the post. I think there might have been another chance in there as well.
Yeah, one of the chances was Harry Wood just, like, this, as good as our squad is, I don't want those relying on, it wasn't even like a high press, it was just the centre-half was a bit of a donkey, to be honest, and we got a gift of a chance. The header you're on about was Ali Cute. Like, Ali Cute generate power off a header. If Ali Cute's generating power off a header, we've just described how he can head a ball. It's a handy save. Watts didn't need to move his feet to save it, he just put his hand out. It looked like a camera save, to be honest. But John Martins is the big one. I think that came off good play. Bouncing ball, he probably should hit the target. But the one thing, talking about the corners, it's like, I've seen John Caulfield make substitutions when he's winning and going, right, I'm not happy with this. Why didn't, we went 1-0 up, why wouldn't Joey go, right, he had time to go, these are bringing on Wilson, the Williams, the centre-half, Franz Pereira, right, Boydy, come on, let's go. Like, we're 1-0 up, we're winning the game, these are bringing on the big lads, we have time here to make a set piece substitution. Well, these are bringing on theirs, right, Ali, come on, come off, Boydy, come on, and then just go and defend your win. Like, that's the only chance Galway really had a scoring tonight. But they were working every set piece, and it's not just a lump ball in the box, it's they're taking 2 minutes, but they're also trying to have runners. And I would have loved to see us just go, right, Boydy, come on, let's go, or something. But we were awful, lads. This box midfield is, sorry, you listened to Marty going about Tiernan Lynch and the squad that he's built. He's built there. They're playing Ben Doherty centre midfield up in Derry and whatever, and Duffy's off injured, and Derry's like, I don't think anyone would get a tune out of that squad that they've bought. I think a better manager would get a better tune out of our squad.
Really? Would you be that harsh on him? Like, if
100%, yeah.
if you take the mid-season break as next week, as you, I know we're slightly over the halfway point, but if we take this as being the halfway point, like, you're fifth in the table, like, what would you give the season out of 10 to this point, Shane?
A 2.
Oh, Jesus, that's very harsh.
It's diabolical. We've got one home win. My 9-year-old son could set up a team to counter-attack off the break away from home. It's not rocket science, like. Do you know what I mean? Our home form is where you need to kind of put your brains together. And this, the box midfield, again, Galway actually had a spell in the middle of the first half where we were, like, couldn't get a ball. They retired out a little bit, but they had a bit of the ball. Sligo had a lot of the ball in the second half against us. Our home form, shocking change. We've won win, which is a 95th-minute winner against a team that are last, like, that's our only win in what, 10 games? We've conceded 10 set piece goals. Like, we're miles off second, which is where we probably would have likened to be at least challenging, if not competing for a title. Like,
yeah.
Can I say something that I think would worry me a little bit? And it was, there was a scene that happened just kind of in front of the press box in the second half there, where Aaron Baldr was pressing Ali Coote, and he was Aaron Baldr all night. Like, you know what? He's like, you know what I mean? He's on the back of your heels all game. But Coote didn't get the free kick, and he kind of threw his arms to complain. And Baldr was like raring to have another go at him. And you could see Coote was kind of like, oh God, I don't know if I fancy going up against this fella. You know what I mean? For the next 20 minutes. And it's something that across the board of Chelsea, like, don't really know where that fight comes from. Do you know what I mean?
No, I do understand what you're saying. I'm just looking at the table here now, and I'll touch on something in a second. Yeah, I do understand what you're saying. You're on it. A lot of fans talk about Mark Coyle this and stuff. That's not what I'm missing. We're just missing a little bit of football news. We've won up front at home. Then you go two up front, and it's just lump ball into Boydie and Martin from your centre-half. Like, instead of trying to work the ball up the pitch, like, Dan O'Kelly's the answer to Pele. Like, it's mental. But I think we're as close to third as we are just above by a point to the playoffs. Like, if you want to look like that, Shane, we're further like second than we are to the playoffs. Like, so.
Yeah, and look, again, I get, like, look, you're be fair to you, you're one that I heard you're going to be at the games regardless of whether they're home or away. But obviously, like, Ben, if you get the same, if you accumulate the same amount of points, but you accumulate the amount they've picked up away from home, if they've picked those up at home and the away points were the home points were their away points, that naturally enough buys a manager more time, because he's putting in good performances and he's impressing in front of the home supporters. There aren't many that are in Shane's bracket that at every game and seeing all the away performances and at least getting the enjoyment of picking up the away wins. So that home form will kill you in terms of how the fans are viewing you, all right? No doubt about it, you know?
The attendance, I don't know what the attendance was tonight, but the atmosphere was terrible.
3,917, Shane, it was. I have that in my notes.
That's not too bad, to be fair. I know with the new stand opening, there's definitely more empty seats because you're not allowed to stand behind the goal, and there's definitely a few more red seats in kind of Camry. So that's why it's harder to gauge. But the atmosphere is poor. We're not ones for, like, doing what the likes of Bowes do and wanting Rennie out and all this crack, like, but I'm one for saying things. Well, actually, there's other fans that have said it a lot sooner than I have. I've kind of happy to give him a bit of time, and I thought he'd turn around, but the home form, lads, it's just, he's sticking with this box midfield thing, and I don't want to boring people with a box, but that's what it is, and there's so much space in the middle of the park for the teams to just pick up second balls, pick up. Our best performance of the season was when we played the draw of the style 5-2-1-2, like, and we haven't done it since. And yeah, it's poor. And I think Duffer's kind of comments maybe gave him a bit more time, because if Duffer comes out and says, like, he's never going to, like, badmouth as me, but with him saying it's the players' fault, like, there's only so much you can say. It's up to the players. Like, Harry Wood, lads, there's nothing wrong with saying he's an unbelievable League of Ireland player, but my God, he's easily one of the best players in the league. I don't know how much of a above us he is, but at the minute he must be looking around thinking, what am I doing here? Like,
can I give you a funny stat, lads, which Shane King, I think you, like, Shane Kelly, you obviously know this, but if you were to just listen to Shane there for the last couple of minutes, you would not believe that Shelburne are on a 7-game unbeaten run. When you look at the results, like, nailed down on the page, it is pretty funny, the sentiment, and I completely get it. Like, at that game today, I completely get the frustration and maybe the lack of urgency to switch it up, and that when you go up, you don't kind of put the foot down. I get it. But I think, is there a point on, Shane, your comments earlier about, you know, if you switch the home wins and the away wins, if he just picks up a couple more home wins and keeps up the away form, all of a sudden Shells are in that top three.
Yeah, but this is, at the same time, you have to remember, Ben, this is a team that probably, you know, they've won a league title in the not too distant past. They believe that anything is possible. You would look at the current squad before a ball was kicked, maybe a little bit differently now, but before a ball is kicked, you'd probably have looked at the current squad, particularly after the Will Jarvis signing late on, you'd have looked at the current squad and thought, yeah, that's that's tasty looking. Like these, you know, Shells fans will have had reasonably realistic expectations. Maybe not of going and winning a title, but they would like to have thought they'd be heading into the second half of the season with that still being a realistic possibility. Whereas it's not, like, it's not, let's be honest. You know, they could pick up a few wins and improve their position and maybe challenge for Europe, but they're not going to get within an ass's roar of winning the league title. And I think just having that being so far away at such an early stage of the season is probably tough, you know, hard for them to swallow.
Oh, I don't know if you could count, Ben, before I go, how many times Sam Bowen crossed the halfway line tonight, bare right centre-half. He just doesn't want to get forward at all, and it's no... I don't know if he's good enough. He didn't win us the league title. He's never won a league title. So he'll be one player that I think I'm allowed to say. I don't know if he's ever been good enough. But he's most certainly not a right centre-half of a back three. And to be fair, even Rossi was on the bench. Why not just make the... I know we said about Boydie, but Rossi's been unbelievable. I don't know what his first name is. The fellow who came in Cambridge.
Dino is Rossi.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Why did he not play tonight? I arguably would have played Ledwidge as an F-back and just nullified their set pieces, if especially when you got 1-0 up. But Sam Bowen has offered absolutely nothing right centre-half in those type of games where we're trying to break teams down. It's diabolical what we're watching at the minute. Like, and we are a nice club and we're nearly too nice sometimes. But yeah, we don't know. Lads. It's just, yeah, it's not fun to watch at the minute.
Shane, I hate to leave you on that summer note, but we have a few more requests.
Yeah, cheers. That's
time. Thanks a million as always, Shane.
Yeah,
thanks, Shane, we have a couple more requests. So I'm going to go to a new one first. Leo has requested. And I'm always interested when there's someone new who is requested to speak. Leo, do we have you there on the line? That's always the worry, Shane.
Leo's getting stage fright.
It's always the worry. Leo, do we have you there? And if we don't, then I'm going to bring in someone who's been waiting very, very patiently, and someone who has been on this podcast or on this League of Ireland late night space before. Keane from Cork, who I'd imagine is a very, very happy man the way things are going in the first division at the moment. Keane, how are you doing?
They're never happy though.
Yeah, Shane's right.
Keane, go on. Why are you not happy?
No, I'd say probably our best performance of the season. I do think Finn Harp is probably the worst team I've seen all season, but we did play phenomenal. You're probably bored of me saying this now, but the young lad again, Killian Murphy, man of the match again tonight. He was absolutely fantastic.
He's some talent, isn't he?
And the guy in the crowd summed it up behind me when I was kind of thinking to myself, like, watching him how good he was, and the guy in the crowd behind me says, I've never watched a player so young to always make the right decision. He never loses the ball. He takes his man on, he beats him, or he lays it off. He never seems to lose possession. He's sensational.
But Keane, I know I'm probably repeating this. I think about you said this another night when you were on, but like, for all the talent that's up in Dublin, and there are some fantastic young players coming out of Dublin, like, it's a serious production line down in Cork. And they nearly always seem to be the same kind of prototype player. But there seems to be like one comes along, he's class, he gets a move to England. As soon as he's gone, you have another one ready to go. It's you're banging out some players, don't you?
Yeah, I'd say he's very similar to Cahill. Obviously, Cahill's gone to Preston.
He's so like Cahill, so like him.
Oh, without being unfair to Cahill, I just reckon he might have the edge over him just because of physicality.
Yeah.
He's that bit bigger, he's that bit stronger. No, Cahill was fantastic for us as well. The worry is, will we have Killian next season? Well, hopefully he wants to go to England because he's only 17, so he might get another year out of him.
Yeah, yeah.
Rory, two goals tonight, three in the last couple of days, which was great as well.
Can I, while you're on the Cork bandwagon, we've got some breaking news in here. And that is that Cork man, Matt Healy, is joining the Ireland squad. Plays Canada next week.
Yeah. So, rightly, and hey Ben, rightly so. He's a class act. I was amazed he wasn't named formally in it first time round. Like, not to take anything away from the boys who were in it, but for me, he has, over the last season and a half, for me, he has been the most consistently top player in the league over the last year and a half. I'm delighted for him.
Yeah, he was the first name on the standby list And I think kind of the way the Monday Friday games went, that maybe why he wasn't called up for the game yesterday. But I know he was the first name on the standby list, so it's great to see him getting the recognition. Keane, can I say something that we're, you know, it's a big Cork parade here, and everyone talking about how you're romping through the first division and you're back with the Premier Division next season. How much did it hurt to lose to Cove Ramblers and Kerry, over the last bank holiday weekend?
Well, you know what, it probably helped us, and we've won five in a row since. Like, we drew the game before that as well, so we actually didn't win in three.
Was it? There was a moment, wasn't there, when UCD UCD overtake it for a weekend, maybe?
No, yeah, but we had a game in hand. Yeah, we just overtook it. Now, and then we played them, and if they beat us, they would have went ahead. But obviously, we beat them. It was a 4-0 or 3-0. But yeah, obviously losing to Cove and Kerry isn't great. But as I said last week, we're everybody's cup final down there, so. Like, Cove had done practically nothing since they beat us. Like,
yeah, no, it is, and it's, you know, when you go down there, Shane, like when you go down to Cork, it's a club that's far too big to be in the first division. Like,
the other side of that Cove team is a lot of lads that we left go on that team.
Hold on. I love the way he has to get his little side in a Cove. Cove Ramblers have won their last three games in a row.
Did they?
Yes. After winning third game in a row tonight, bet Kerry tonight, having bet Treaty and that loan in their last two, they're in flying form.
How did they get on after us?
yeah, fair enough. Back to defeats after years. But they bounce back well now.
Lads, you might notice we're running out of time, so I've added in another first division regular caller. Siegel is in as well, who another 4-0 win for Cork. There's a 4-0 win for Bray Wanderers as well. Siegel, I presume, a pretty good night there. Down on the coast.
Yeah, well, the main thing was Billy O'Neill's last game before going off to Bristol, and he probably his best game in a Bray shirt. I don't know if he saw the disallowed goal, but you know, it's a Siegel chat calling in, so I have to compare referees even though we win. Closer to the net than it was to the line, and it wasn't given, as if you look, the linesman's way as the balls crossed in. But regardless, again, he scored a goal in everyone's eyes, and then he created two brilliant, brilliant goals. So and the scenes after the match, you know, he went over to everyone in the crowd to get, you know, he had a big do over with them. So no, it was a great send off, and what a player, and what a potential talent. And interesting enough, the manager of...
Can he cut it at that level over there, do you think, Siegel?
I think so, yeah. I mean, well, today, the good news today was the manager of Lincoln City, who obviously got them promoted, just joined Bristol. So he's
Michael Scobal has a really good name for kind of bringing through young players. It probably couldn't have timed any better, him going over the week he's going over.
Yeah, so no, that's a big boost for his chances there, and hopefully he just gets thrown in, because he was thrown in to the starting lineup last season by Paul Heffernan, and it worked wonders for him. He got to grips with it very quickly, so hopefully that the more or less the same happens for him over there. So because again, he's just unbelievable to watch.
What is the how are we looking now in the first division? Like, is it obviously Cork are going to run away with the title, but how are we thinking for the playoffs? Because if you look at it, I'm looking at it here now, right? UCD are 30 points, but between say Cove Ramblers in third and Finn Harps down in eighth, there's only 10 points between them. I know there's a lot of time still to play.
I would say
is there any teams that we can say are almost nailed in to finish there.
You can't ask Siegel here, because he's going to be biased, right? So if we go back,
I would say we are not absolutely nailed in, because we've yo-yoed between some great matches and some appalling runs of football. I mean, we lost. No wins in eight at one point. So, like, we're absolutely not nailed on. And if we had lost today, then we would have potentially been sixth. And outside of the playoffs, so
yeah.
No, we're not nailed on. I'm more confident than not of getting in. But
Keane is the man who gets to sit back and smoke a cigar and watch all the mayhem unfold. From what you've seen against the teams who've played against Cork, Keane, give us the four teams you think will be in the playoffs.
Four will be in the playoff. I think Cove will make it. They always seem to kind of. I'd like to see him. I know you'll get a slight digs. I'd like to see him make it as well. You know, I'd like to see him have a shot of going up, to be fair to him. UTD will definitely make it. I think that's a given.
Yeah.
I think Bray will make it, yeah. I think after that is probably a toss up between Atlow and Wexford and Longford. I think Bray should be safe enough.
Yeah.
Does Siegel reckon we still won't be impressive champions?
Listen. If you play like apparently you did today, then at least it'll feel better. Some yeah, again, the thing is, it's actually been much easier for Cork, or at least should be much easier for Cork, because like I say, the top of the sort of eight or nine resident first division teams, all the top ones have gotten slightly worse, and all the bottom ones have gotten slightly better. So they play against more or less the same level each week.
Lads, Keane, Teagle, thanks again for hopping on tonight.
Cheers, lads.
Always good to get a bit of a first division action in. Shane, what I'm going to do when we hang up here is I'm going to race home and look up the top five goals of the night, and I'm pretty sure most others are going as well. So Shane, I'm going to ask one more time. Give me in order. Where are we going for top five goals?
I have just tweeted the League of Ireland Twitter page to say that we need the playlist ASAP. I have it down as Cameron Dunigan 1, Benny Couto 2, Graham Burke 3. Alex O'Brien, by the way, is the one I forgot to mention, down in the first division for Longford at 4, and Jane Farrell at 5. But 5 absolute crackers. Top one, I'm telling you though, the Cameron Dunigan one, I'm telling you, genuine Puskas chances here, I reckon. What a strike.
Better than Ed McCarthy's last week?
I genuinely didn't think I'd be saying that. Only a week later, I was sure end of season that Ed McCarthy's done and dusted, best goal in the league this year, but I don't know, there's just something aesthetically about this goal that is just absolutely beautiful.
It's like a bust, isn't it? You wait all season, what's going to be the goal of the season? And then you get 2 in a week.
That's it.
Shane Keegan, thanks a million for hopping on tonight, as always.
Great stuff, Ben.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Take care, folks. We'll chat to you after the international break in 2 weeks' time.
You could hear a pin drop in the lobby. It was that quiet.
The referee letting play continue. One last throw.
It's obviously hard now because of the way that's all ended, but
Scales is up after it. Scales wins ahead.
I'll have that forever.
Yeah! There's the goal! That's Troy Parrott! That is unbelievable!
Inner Drive, Episode 1 with Troy Parrott, out now on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Allianz, a proud sponsor of Irish sport.
Off the ball.